This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show, Drew Dinsick of NBC Sports will join us. We will go over the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, as we are on a great time of the year. When you look ahead to what we have on Thursday, the two really good series, I'll give some thoughts here on NBA. The games on Wednesday are not great, but the two Thursday series just so happens they fall on the same day. Those two series that have been really compelling. And Rockets Warriors isn't bad. That's a pretty good game Wednesday night. Pistons, Knicks, and Nuggets, Clippers, those have been the two best series so far. I'm recording this as Minnesota and the Lakers are going at it. Lakers basically trying to, for all intents and purposes, save their season right now against Minnesota. That game is in the early going. The Thunder trash the Grizzlies. The Bucks are down 0-2 against the Pacers as the Pacers win. So not much intrigue in those series. And then Wednesday night, this one is down to 10.5. Celtics against the Magic. Celtics laying 10.5. Tatum is now doubtful, so that was at 12.5. Now it's 10.5. And the Cavs laying 12 here to the Heat. I have no interest in Miami here. I expect the Cavs to pretty much name their score. It's been pretty chalky here early on with these teams. I mean, the Cavs covered. OKC is covered twice. These teams that have been better, they just have been in name your score mode. The Celtics covered against the Magic, so you know, it would be Cavs or nothing for me. It'd be Celtics or nothing for me. Although without Tatum, I'd probably just stick with a team total under, like I mentioned the other day for Orlando, down to 92.5. And I do think Houston here on Wednesday, I do think Houston would find a way to win the game. If they don't win this game, they're probably going to get swept. They just can't shoot. They're almost like St. John's in college basketball or some of the older Houston college basketball teams from a couple of years ago, where it's just their offense is to miss a shot and hopefully just get a putback. I mean, they can't shoot at all. They have nothing in the half court. I wonder if Golden State, usually these teams, they get one on the road and they just pack it in for game two. They just can't put up the same fight. You can't fake desperation is the phrase I always say. But Golden State's a veteran team. They probably savor the time off. They figure, hey, if we can win this game two, we buy ourselves a lot of rest for the next round and just hope the Lakers and Timberwolves go a long way and give themselves a little bit of a breather here because they have goals beyond the first round, obviously. But I do think Houston has enough there. They dominated the glass. That's going to be an ugly series. Can they score enough in the half court to actually win it? I'm not sure, but I do think they will win game two here. And then we'll try to punch through in Golden State and make that a longer series. So I'm not crazy about laying the three. Money's coming here on Houston. I would look for a cheaper money line here on Houston, if anything, but that would be my thought process. Magic team total under. I'd go with the Cavs -12, and I would take Houston. If I had to lay it or take it, I'd lay it, and I'd probably just prefer a money line. Although, you know, these teams, if they're going to win, they're usually going to cover, especially with the three, especially the fact that, you know, Golden State got their one game already. So we'll see what kind of fight they put up here in game two, looking for the knockout punch. And then the games on Thursday are fantastic. Knicks, Pistons. I think the Knicks are in trouble. I got off the Pistons. I love the Pistons coming into the series. I thought this was not a toss-up series, but I didn't think the Knicks should be over $4 favorites. That's for sure. And I mentioned how I like the Pistons in six as an angle because they're not going to win in four or five, and they're probably not going to win a game seven in the Garden. If they're going to win, they're going to have to steal one early, which they've done already, and win their home games and close it out in six. And there's a long way to go, but as long as the Pistons can hold serve here at home, they will close out the Knicks and they will win this series. And the scary thing for the Knicks, the Pistons, a couple things. The Pistons are a couple of bad minutes away, the bad run on Saturday away from being up two games to none. Now, I know you can't look at it that way because if the Pistons had won game one, maybe they're not as hungry. Maybe the Knicks are more focused, more motivated. But Pistons are not that far from being up 2-0 going home for game three. And here's the other thing. The Pistons shot 6 of 27 from three and still won the game. And they came apart again in the Garden on game two here on Monday night. That was a run for the Knicks where it's like, oh, here we go again. The Pistons are going to be sick to their stomach thinking, how did we not get one of these games? But they hit the big three. They hold on. Bridges misses the three. And they get their split. And I actually think they're going to win game three. I think they're a toss-up to get both of these. Maybe the Knicks win one with their veteran savvy, their presence, their collection of talent, because if you're just drafting players, you're going to go with Brunson and obviously Cade. I would say Cade and Brunson almost cancel out. Most people will say Brunson's better. I think it's pretty close. But after those two guys, it's a lot of Ananobi and Towns and Bridges. There's a lot of Knicks after that. But the Pistons are good. The Pistons are underrated. They're hungry. They're young. And I just think that they got a decent chance here. Again, 50-50, they get both of them. And even if they got both of them, you know what? Knicks go home for game five, win that. And Knicks just have to get one of these three in Detroit. But the Pistons have not looked scared. They're athletic. And we'll see here. And they've been every bit as good as the Knicks, really, since the All-Star break. The Knicks have not beaten good teams all year. And I think you can count the Pistons as a good team. So I will take Detroit plus one here on Thursday. OKC laying nine to Memphis. I mentioned OKC as a sweep is a good bet. I don't really want to lay nine on the road. If you're going to get any effort from Memphis, it'll be in this game, but no interest for me. And then Nuggets Clippers, this has been outstanding too. And I'd actually, even though it's 1-1 and this has been a dead heat in terms of points, rebounds, or turnovers, you look at a lot of the box score, it's been 50-50. It's been dead even. I'd be a little nervous if I was Denver just because I know either team could make the case they should be up 2-0, but it just feels like Denver does not have as many answers, as many options as the Clippers. That was a fun Kawhi throwback game to remind everyone, hey, this is why I'm worth all the trouble. This is why, you know what, when I sit out all these games or I'm hurt all these games, it is a big deal. He had a chance. If he was healthy for the duration of his career, which, it's part of it. Well, being on the court is part of it. It's a big part of it. But he is an upper echelon Hall of Famer. He's an all-time great player. When he can play, it's just he's going to have, when he retires, depending on how his career plays out here, he's going to look back on one of the stranger careers because it's almost like DeGrom in baseball because when he's out there, he's among the best of all time. It's just he's not out there enough to really be considered in that conversation. But, champion, finals MVP, an all-time great player. And that was an all-time performance. And I just think Denver needed everything just to kind of get a split. And that was at home with a good home court advantage. There's just not that much around Jokic. And here's the other thing. Jokic is being neutralized somewhat by Zubac, who's done a hell of a job guarding him. So I would hate to sit here and go all home teams, all chalk. But that is how I'm leaning here. I would lay it with the Clippers, try to maybe get them in a money line in somehow, because I don't think, to be honest, I don't think Denver gets one in LA. I know I picked at Denver in seven, and at 1-1, I should feel okay. And this has been such an even series, I should feel okay. I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about it. I think the Clippers have a good chance here to get both of them and really put Denver, up against the eight ball. So I'm going with all the home teams at least. Yeah, I didn't plan it this way, but I am going with all the home teams in these next games. So not likely all these home teams are going to win and going to cover, but I'm not going to pick a road team just because I don't want to pick all home teams. That doesn't make much sense either. So I mean, and I'll get to the draft here in a minute. We'll spend a lot of time on the draft with Drew. Thursday is just an all-time day. I mean, Pistons Knicks has been outstanding. Clippers Nuggets has been awesome. Thunder Grizzlies, whatever. But you have three NBA playoff games. You got the NHL playoff games. You got Major League Baseball, and you got a draft. That is a top five day of the year. I mean, that's just a great, great sports night. It really is. As far as the draft in terms of bets, I'm of the belief we know the top four: Ward, Hunter, Carter. Then you go the offensive lineman, Campbell, and then it starts, I believe, at five, like most people. It sounds like, and who knows if this is a smokescreen or trying to get a trade up, it sounds like Graham is not going to be the pick at five. Sounds like they are more interested in offense, whether that's McMillan, the receiver from Arizona, Genty, the running back, which would seem like a stretch, but I guess it's possible, or even one of the tight ends. The Jags were so bad on defense. Are they really going to eschew defense? I guess it's possible, which would lead you to the Raiders. I don't know that they'll take a running back. Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator. He's got a relationship with these Ohio State guys. Would they go defense? Would they go offensive line? Maybe this kid Banks, who's like 10, 12 to 1 at some of these books. I could see Banks being the pick. And then I originally thought Jets were in the mix for a tight end, but it sounds like if you read the tea leaves that Aaron Glenn, the new head coach, has gotten involved, and it's possible they go defense. Barron, the corner from Texas, his odds have dropped from being like 40 to 1 to be the pick. Now he's down to like 10 to 1 to be that pick. So we'll see. Here's the thing. All the available information is available to everyone. It's available to us. It's available to the books. So the whole key of betting the draft, if you're in a state where you can bet the draft, is just try to get ahead of the news, which, we can't really do in a podcast form. It's just be on your phone and catch a rumor, try to bet it before it moves, and go from there, because this stuff is widely available to us, but that means it's widely available to the book. So it's hard to beat, but taking a shot on maybe Banks to be the sixth pick at long odds, maybe Barron still at 10-1 to be the pick at longer odds. If I had to guess, I would guess McMillan, because I was listening to Todd McShay, and he was on the Bear Bets podcast for Fox Sports that I'm also on. He was on before us, saying that the success Trevor Lawrence had in college with bigger receivers, maybe there's something that Jacksonville wants to duplicate that. So I'll say McMillan goes five, Banks goes six, Barron goes seven, and then who the hell knows from there. So should be a lot of fun, a lot of NBA picks, a lot of sports these next couple of days. It's not a great draft because, like I've talked about in past weeks, there's not a lot of quarterbacks and there's not a lot of receivers. And most fans just want guys they know. They want guys that touch the ball. They don't really care if it's offensive lineman or defensive lineman. Yeah, there's some tight ends, but for the most part, we want quarterbacks is the first thing, because everyone can have an opinion on quarterbacks. You don't even have to watch them that much. If you watch college football, you have seen these guys. After that, it's tough once you get to these offense, defensive linemen, quarterbacks, receivers. That's where it's at. And it's not a great draft for that stuff. It's cyclical, obviously. Last year, we had a ton of quarterbacks go and go early. So should be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I can't wait to talk to Drew Dinsick about it. He always has great info, great intel. I'm going to talk to him in a minute. That is next. This is the Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Bet More podcast. You can catch him at the NBC Sports Bet the Edge, the Deep Dive Pod with Andy Mauder. It's our buddy, the great Drew Dinsick. Drew, what's up, man? Great time of the year. NFL draft, NBA playoffs. I love it. Happy to have you on. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And the crossover of round one of NBA playoffs and the NFL draft this week is making things super interesting. And gonna be a tug of war for my attention on Thursday night, honestly, because draft is at least for now feeling a little light on juice. And the NBA playoffs, we got Clippers Nuggets on Thursday, man. That's gonna be must see TV. So fun to figure out how to second screen all this stuff, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. And Knicks and Pistons on Thursday. So Knicks and Pistons and Clippers
Ah.
Nuggets, if those two series are going to land on the same day and the Pistons are going to push them, that's going to be a great doubleheader. And we'll get to the NBA stuff and get your opinions on it, and if you think the Knicks are in some trouble here. Does the dra we'll start with the draft. I guess I'll start here. Is there anything in the first four picks that could get off the rails, or do we pretty much know what the order and who's going where here?
I'm seeing heavy duty rails. I think on the rails is sort of the kind of general vibe I'm getting entirely this draft. It feels like more than ever, teams are aligned in terms of how they rate the top of the board. It feels like more than ever, everybody's in agreement that Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are the only two kind of true blue chip non-quarterbacks that you're going to get in this draft. Certainly the Cam Ward news that first overall is out of the bag. So Ward to the Titans. Put that in stone as a 99.99% likelihood. Hunter to the Browns, I would put that as 99%. And then Carter to the Giants, I would put that in the 95% ballpark. And honestly, the fourth pick, Campbell to Patriots, just seems like that's just a done deal. Like, I was sort of last to the party in believing that the Patriots were really going to reach for a tackle there instead of, either trying to elicit a trade or, consider a skill position guy. But they're going to take Campbell by the sound of it. So I think your first four is going to be mega chalk this year. And, most of the interest right now among the people who are really trying to, kind of smoke out the news is surrounding pick five and whether the Jags are being sincere with what they're floating to people or whether they're trying to smoke screen to see if they can get a trade up. So all eyes right now for me on anything that I would consider hard intel coming out of Jacksonville for the next bet I'm going to make.
Let's get to five and kind of try to fill out the top 10 from there. What, for the people that didn't hear, what would you qualify as the smokescreen? Basically, they're looking at a skill player, whether it's Genty, whether it's McMillan. And what, I don't know, using your betting instincts, what is your best guess as to what's real here?
Well, instincts are telling me that the Jags are going to take a defensive player, and what they're doing right now is floating every big name offensive player that they think some team may have fallen in love with to see if they can get a trade up. I think ultimately the Jags have Mason Graham as the third best player on their board, and he is the least sexy pick by far. And I think if they could take Graham in like the 9 or 10 or even 12 spot, as opposed to taking him 5, they would be much happier, which is why I think you hear on a Sunday people kicking around, oh, we're hearing some serious buzz, Genty to the Jags. And then on Monday, you're hearing, oh, we're hearing some serious buzz, Tet McMillan to the Jags. And then today, it's now like as of minutes ago, people are now hot on Banks, the tackle, to the Jags. I've heard Membu, the tackle, to the Jags. Like just the fact that all of this kind of rotating cast of characters have been floated to me seems like the Jags are specifically leaking this stuff on purpose to see if they can drum up any interest in a trade into the five spot. I think in general, like, does Genty going five make sense? Sure. Does Genty going five to the Jags make sense? I guess. Like, you know, they clearly are not married long term to, you know, this regime is not married long term to Travis Etienne. He's kind of been a bust. So if they want to upgrade at that position, I won't really hold it against them. We probably see Etienne either get cut or traded after that. So, you know, I get why they would want to just do that. But I also think that this to me feels like smoke that they're floating trying to elicit a trade. And then ultimately they'll take defense. So the Jags defense was so flipping horrendous last year. The idea that they would go through free agency and the draft and not sincerely address any of their major, you know, talent deficiencies is crazy to me. But you know, we'll I haven't gotten the hard intel. It's just literally been someone has popped up out of nowhere with real, like what seems like real information that they're interested in some other guy on the offensive side of the ball, which when that happens, it tends to feel like smoke.
And if we don't know it's who's going five, it makes it hard to know who's going six. So I guess I'll just put it this way. If the
Yeah.
Raiders had their pick of the litter here, where do you think they would go?
I think they go tackle. I think they go big bodies. I think they're building trenches out. I think they have eyes for a round two running back here. I think they're going to pass on Genty even if he is there at six. I feel like the kind of the moment at the press conference between Spytek and Pete Carroll where Carroll goes out of his way to say, "Yeah, don't give it away." You know, that felt a little canned, a little hammy, and a little you know, kind of misinformation-y as opposed to true signal there. So I'm gonna say Raiders take Membu.
And then the Jets at seven. I had heard just some whispers of maybe tight end that they didn't love the tackles, that they weren't going to go quarterback, that Warren was just, hey, we saw what Bowers did last year and let's get our Bowers. But now it seems like Aaron Glenn is maybe getting more involved, and that's why you see the corner. Was it Barron? Do you have any feel here for the Jets would like to do or the Jets what the Jets will do?
Yeah, Barron is a tricky one for me because of the defensive players, particularly in the secondary, he's the guy that I think will ultimately have the best career. But he also plays a little bit of a non-premium position in that he's going to be a nickel guy. You saw Dejean just absolutely slide beyond any reasonable spot he should have landed last year in that same sort of kind of mold. And so if Barron goes early, that would be a little bit of a shock to me. I do think the Jets were, at least as of a couple of weeks ago, very heavily in the tackle market. Now they may have gotten to that conclusion that you mentioned where they just aren't sold on any of these guys. And or maybe they think the guy they really want's not going to be there, right? Maybe they kind of you know, have either gleaned through information or are assuming that Campbell, Banks, and Membu are all gone, in which case they absolutely take Warren, I think. But in you know, my gut says Jets come out of this with an offensive player, and it's either a tackle or a tight end.
How about 8 through 10? You can kind of take them all as one
Yeah.
individual. What are you looking at?
Carolina Panthers go defense. Every you know, kind of dot connected Carolina to Walker, the Georgia hybrid linebacker pass rusher. So that feels like a decent match at eight. Nine and the Saints. The Saints need so much and they have so little that I wouldn't be surprised by anything, honestly. And they could just take best player available, whoever that happens to be. Some late, weird, surprising smoke that they may be interested in Mykel Williams, who's a defensive, you know, D-line specialist there. So keep an eye out for that. And actually, what makes that fun is if the Jags don't end up taking Mason Graham, then you know what that means. That means Saints are in, you know, if they take Mykel Williams, he could be your first D lineman in that market without Abdul Carter involved. So that would be a fun kind of chaotic one. Definitely some fun chaos in the first defensive back market and without without Travis Hunter in it. I don't think Will Johnson is high on many people's boards because of the speed and the injury issues. So yeah, those are sort of the two that I have eyes on. Maybe we could get a score as far as a big price goes. I think I would pretty much put in pencil right now that the Bears come out of this with a skill position player, running back or tight end. If Genty hasn't gone by the time the Bears pick, I think he is probably their pick at 10. If Warren is available and Genty is gone, I think Warren is their pick at 10. If both Genty and Warren are gone, it's probably Loveland. I think ultimately kind of fortifying their skill position group is the du jour for the Bears there. And I think the Bears are probably everyone is targeting, trying to get them to trade up, because I feel like there is a lot of, sort of tier breaks at 10 for some of these teams. And so they would like to be in that 10 spot to get the last guy that they think is sort of a good long-term starter. And they don't want to pay, top 10 premium for it. If they can get picks for the Bears to flip, they would love to do it. So that's my general read on the top 10. And it's not all that fun and exciting because it's pretty chalky.
So if Genty slips, and you can still get 8-1 on Walker, some books I'm seeing Panthers now. Again, a lot of this is what books you have. Some of these skins are just slow to move. I don't have the legal books in Connecticut for this draft stuff, but Panthers are 8th pick to be Walker's 8-1, at least one I'm looking at. So
Oh, really?
yeah,
Oh, that's a great bet.
that's a great bet. Okay.
8-1 is a great bet. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've talked myself a little bit too sincerely into them being connected to Walker. But Jalen Walker, the hybrid linebacker edge from Georgia, going to the Panthers at 8 would at 8-1, that'd be sick.
What's been your availability to bet the your ability to bet the draft? How's that been?
Trick question. There were no props up for me offshore. I'm in California, obviously, so all my betting goes through the Caribbean for the most part. I don't do a lot of kind of black market paperhead stuff. And the main book that I use for liquidity, which allows bets of size and rebets, didn't put up any markets at all until like 2 weeks ago. And then they've been slowly trickling them in. Most of what I'm getting is not really information this cycle. So it's not like I'm like, oh man, I have solid gold if I only had a place to bet it. Like most of the info has been pretty speculative, but I've gotten some action on some long shot stuff. As I look at my portfolio right now, my biggest need is Banks under 13 and a half, Mykel Williams under 15 and a half. I bet those as aggressively as I could, to the point where I was laying healthy juice that those both go under. And I don't usually like making under bets either, because it's just like slides are so common. But the general kind of vibe I have is that Banks and Williams were sort of and really just trenches in general. Like there's going to be a premium on tackles. I have over 6.5 tackles in round one. I have under 29 and a half for Ebuka, who's the wide receiver at Ohio State. I think quarterbacks, over 2.5 quarterbacks, I played at plus money. I think there's a chance that certainly Dart and Sanders are alive to slide out of round one entirely. As it stands right now, it sounds like without a trade back into round one, we only have one quarterback going in round one. So I'm not exactly sure why we had such a healthy price to swing away on over 2.5 quarterbacks. And yeah, I think the talent is so rich at the wide receiver position and at the running back position on day two, that there's not going to be just a huge, huge rush to get your wide receiver or your running back on day one. I think a lot of those guys might slide as well. So most of the pressure that I'm seeing is going to be on edge, is going to be on tackle. And I think that's going to be kind of the common theme where you see some runs on day one.
Yeah, and I did misspeak. The 8th pick for Walker is not for Walker at 8-1. That was the 9th pick I'm looking at. So
Ah,
looking at
well, that's not
the
crazy either. I
future.
mean,
Yeah.
what I right now at 9, if you can find a good price on Mykel Williams, I kind of like that. I
What
don't
do you
think
consider a
anyone
good price?
5-1 or better.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I don't think anyone really knows what the Saints are going to do at 9. But it seems like all of the expectation that it might be Shredder Sanders or Jackson Dart was misled. And it's potentially they're just going to go trenches either side of the ball. Could be a reasonable pick for them there. And I get the sense that the tackles might all be gone. So defensive line makes starting to crystallize a little bit for me for number nine.
Last one on the draft, and it'll do some NBA quick. What any idea of a team for Sanders, which is some a market that some books do have. That's the only reason I ask.
Yeah, I like the Browns. I think the Browns take him 34, or sorry, 33 would be the first pick of round two. I think there's a chance that the Browns and the Eagles flip-flop if the Browns want an extra year of potential control on him and that they take him 32. But that's the only bet I have on Shedeur Sanders is that he will be a Cleveland Brown.
And what's the logic behind that? Obviously, besides the obvious that they need a quarterback, that's not going to happen
Yeah, their
often.
quarterback room is atrocious, number one. He is the guy that I think has the most upside, and they have the most assets. And really just they're in prime position because they have that 33rd pick. You know, like we've started to see this over the years where that pick becomes pretty valuable because as if you hold that number 33, you have a lot of leverage over the entire rest of the NFL as they look at who slid out of round one and have, you know, in that sort of 15-hour window before round two starts where you can make some deals and you know, really find the right you know, really find the right market for what that pick is worth. And so the Eagles flip-flopping with the Browns for 32, 33, and then using that as leverage over every other NFL team, that feels real to me. It's speculation.
Should be a lot of fun. I've heard people make the case that the Colts at like 50-1 could be a landing spot. I don't know
Wow.
how they feel about Richardson, but look, at 50-1 with a guy who's going to slide and we don't really know, I can't dispute taking a shot on that. Let's switch over to NBA. We get three games here on Wednesday. Celtics laying 12.5 to the Magic, who just cannot score against them. I think the Magic team total under is still probably a good look there, even though it's dropped a point or so. And then Cavs laying 12 to the Heat. And the Rockets are laying 2.5 and what I would consider a must-win at home, looking to avoid 2-0. So Rockets -2.5 against the Warriors. Anything you've played in those three or you're looking at in those three?
Yeah, took the points with the Magic. Pretty disappointed that they couldn't come up with the cover in game one. Back to the well for me in game two. I laid the points with Cleveland. I think that should be 14. And then I laid the points with Houston. I think Houston gets back at Golden State here. And in general, I think Houston, yeah, I give them a pass for some of the nerves that were on display in game one, particularly in the first half of that game. And I think they have the right pieces to try some different combinations to get the better of the Warriors in this one. And the Warriors in general, to me, look a little bit suspect, a little bit tie-tie. So fatigue maybe has opens the door for Houston to get a hard-fought physical win with some of their young legs. So laid Rockets, laid Cavs. Backed Magic.
How about the Thursday games, which again, with the draft going on in these two series, that's a hell of a night. Knicks, Pistons, Nuggets, Clippers, and the draft. Boy, that's a lot of fun. It's a long night.
Oh,
Are the
seriously.
Knicks in trouble here? Knicks are laying a point in Detroit.
I think they are in a bit of trouble here. I don't see anything obvious that they're going to be able to stop Cade Cunningham for the time being. So they're going to need to find some offense. Their offense was pretty atrocious in game two. They're going to need some adjustments. I don't really know that I love their options, honestly. So that's going to be a really competitive game. My fare for that one, let me pull up my number. I have Knicks -1. So if you can get them at a pick, I would take the Knicks. But it's trending to -1, and I think it probably closes there, maybe closes 1.5. Yeah, really fun game. And then I'm pretty aggressively staked on Clippers in the series, so I needed that win last night badly. And I think they win game three. I think they win game four. I think they go back to Denver up 3-1. Denver to me looks a little lost right now. And I know the Clippers got like an all-time throwback performance out of Kawhi, and even still, it was a very close win. I think with home court, get a little bit more out of your supporting cast there. The defense really is really what stands out for me with the Clippers right now defending Denver, and I don't see that changing at all in game three. So Clippers would be my look, and because I have so much series, I'm probably just going to pass and hope they win. But if it gets bet down into like the 4, 4.5 range, I would take Clippers.
How about these updated series prices? Knicks -250, Pistons +200, Clippers -165, Nuggets +140. Sounds like you would double down on the Clippers if you had to, do anything with that one. And are the Rockets at +300, is that enough to get involved with Houston? Any thoughts on those?
I think Houston probably loses the series, but it goes long, right? This feels like Golden State in seven to me.
That's what I picked.
Clippers, if I was betting the Clippers series, I would look for a spread at this point. I think the Clippers can win in five. And I know that I'm bullish Clippers, so that shouldn't surprise anyone. Knicks is an interesting one. If they lose game three, that's your buy point on the Knicks, I think. This is like I said, as I my fair is Knicks like -1, right? So that says they have a 53-ish% chance to win. Coin flip game. If they, if it comes up tails and it's heads, then and they call heads, then I guess the opportunity to back New York at a decent price is appealing. I don't know that the Detroit Pistons have any type of plan B with the way that their roster is constructed. So once the Knicks do figure them out, which I think they will at some point, then the series should really, tilt back in favor of New York. So we just got to find the right time to get in on that. And I don't know, I guess I'm just going to keep my powder dry. I hope they lose game three and then fire on the series for the Knicks.
Thunder Celtics finals.
I'm going to go Thunder over the Cavs.
Okay.
Right now, I think the Celtics are a little bit overvalued by the market, and I have questions about some of their health and some of their depth that the market is ignoring. And Cleveland is a super team with an easier path, so I may end up looking silly on this, but right now I would make them small favorites heads up in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics with home court.
Should be a good rest of the playoffs. Should be a great draft, Drew. Appreciate the time, man. NBC Sports, Deep Dive. Where else can we find you?
Those are the two major spots, and then of course regular guest appearances with you guys at VSiN.
All right, Drew. Appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon, hopefully.
All right, best of luck.
All right. Thanks to Drew Dinsick. Rate, review, subscribe, goldboys.com. Check out the Discord there. The boys have been on fire, so check them out. We'll be back Friday. See you then.